A warm welcome as we gather for worship at St. Luke's this morning in person and via Zoom. I just was reminded by somebody that I should maybe mention, that wasn't what was told to me, but I think that's what it came across, that you may have been getting very comfortable coming to church in your pajamas. But you are welcomed to be here in person. The church is open to that degree. We're going to be talking about that again this afternoon at Council. We do appreciate some spacing and whatnot, but the place is open for you to come for worship here. So we'd love to see you. And we do have some folks here this morning that it looks like that is beginning to happen. That's very good. This afternoon, the church council meets, and it's going to be in person here at the church. Wednesday youth group and Lenten service, again the midweek service at 7 o'clock, and Thursday Bible study, again, that's, we do have it also on Zoom because Kay Thompson is over in Qatar, but we also do welcome people to be here for in-person Bible study as well. We begin our worship then with confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Opening hymn is Amazing Grace, and we're going to sing just the first three verses. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world and rescued us from the hopelessness of death. Lead us into your light, that all our deeds may reflect your love, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
God speaks to us in Scripture, reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 21st chapter of Numbers. Though God provides food and water for the Israelites in the wilderness, they whine and grumble. They forget about the salvation they experienced in the Exodus. God punishes them for their sin. But when they repent, God also provides a means of healing, a bronze serpent lifted up on a pole. Verse 4, from Mount Hor, the Israelites set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who has bitten shall look at it and live. So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read Psalms 107 responsibly. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, for the God's mercy endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim
that God redeemed them
from the hand of the world,
gathering them in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some were fools
and took rebellious paths, though their sins were inflicted. They loathed all manner of food and drew near to death's door. Then in their trouble they cried to the Lord, and he delivered them from their distress. You sent forth your word and healed them and rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to you, Lord, for your steadfast love and your wonderful works for all people. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of your deeds with shouts of joy. The second reading is from the second chapter of Ephesians. While we were dead in our sinfulness, God acted to make us alive as a gift of grace in Christ Jesus. We are saved not by what we do, but by grace through faith. Thus, our good works are really a reflection of God's grace at work in our lives. Verse 1, You were dead through the trespasses and the sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passion of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, and out of the great love which he has loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the results of works, so that anyone may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
To the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and abounding in steadfast love. The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I suspect most of us have some little tape that plays way in the back of our mind, a memory perhaps from our childhood, when we had done something destructive or stupid. Maybe it was as simple as tipping over a glass of water, or maybe it was something far worse than that, but the response was, "Now see what you've done." Now see what you've done. An emotional outburst and also a lament, a plea that the offender will recognize bad behavior and will clean up their act in the future, as in today's first reading. Here's the story. The people, later known as Israelites, had spent long years as slaves in Egypt. Then God sent Moses to lead them to freedom. But the only way to get from Egypt to the Holy Land is through the desert. You can look at the map. The Sinai Peninsula is right there, you know. You got to go there and through desert beyond that in the wilderness. But the people were hungry. And so God provided food for them, the quails and the manna. You know that story, that kind of mysterious food that they would gather up in the desert day after day. They gathered outside the camp and they were fed and they were free and they were traveling to the promised land. Sounds good. But for comparison, imagine that there's only one kind of food for you. Let's say peanut butter sandwich. That's it. That's the only food. Three times a day, a peanut butter sandwich. And that goes on not for a week, but not for a month, but for years. Peanut butter sandwiches. And you'd say, peanut butter again? Yeah, that's what it was like. I suppose you would feel like you couldn't look at another one. You'd complain too. It had been a long journey, and now we are told they had another detour around the land of Edom, and it is too much. They get grumpy, they rebel, they complain against Moses and against God. Look, you brought us out of Egypt to let us die in the desert, and all we've got is this miserable food. Then the fiery snakes showed up. In fact, the Hebrew says fiery, not poisonous, but after many died of snake bite, others came to Moses. They confessed their sin. They pleaded for the snakes to be taken away, and then you heard what the remedy was. Here's this bronze snake put on a pole, and you had to look at that. Face to face, huh? You are face to face, in a sense, with your own rebellion, with your own resistance to the free gift that God has already given you. Somehow, the bronze snake was evidence of their sin, and the serpent meant facing their guilt. Could they face it? Could they acknowledge it? We can think of the passion story of Peter and Judas, who both failed in miserable ways. Judas sold, Judas was one who turned Jesus over to the authorities who were looking to arrest him. And Peter denied three times even knowing him. I don't know who that guy is. Think of the difference in the result. Judas, we are told, committed suicide. Peter wept bitterly, acknowledging his failure. And facing his weakness and failure, he turned out to become the leader of the disciples, the apostles. Looking at ourselves in the same way, I was reminded of a line from that huge Russian novel, The Brothers Karamazov. Remember that one character says, I once did him dirt, and I've never forgiven him for it. I said, what? Isn't that backwards? Until you realize that's the way it often happens in our lives as well. The reality in that story is that the character cannot forgive himself. Can't face up to what he's done, and so he puts the responsibility for the broken relationship on the one who has been wronged. The guilt remains as a barrier because, in the first place, the guy who did it has never faced up to it, and in the second place, he has never acknowledged it to the person who has wronged. Tragedy upon tragedy. Maybe something like that has happened in your life. Sometimes with evil intent, sometimes for lack of thought, we act in ways that harm or diminish others, that in some way diminish us, that show us to be less than we think of ourselves being, in ways that offend against God. And so in 1 Corinthians, St. Paul refers to this story of the serpents in his warnings. He said, we must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. And in today's gospel, Jesus uses that in speaking of his own coming death. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. In this case, in both cases, the lifting up is somehow a representation of salvation. See what you've done. When Jesus is lifted up, the crucified Messiah, they will behold, we will behold, the ultimate example of what sin does. That thought is in many of our Lenten hymns. You know, this is the season of Lent. And many of the hymns have that thought that we should view and meditate on the crucifixion. We should look on the cross. There in Jesus on the cross, our sin confronts us. But also there, we come face to face with God's love. Face to face with sin, face to face with the depth of God's love. In the second chapter of Ephesians, in that second reading today, we have the words that have become sort of central to the Reformation. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. But notice the final verse. The final verse of that, I think, is so interesting. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. That's what we're made for. We are designed to do good. That might help us get a new view of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. And this whole reading tells us that to believe in Jesus means two things. The first is to know that God loves you, that God loves you profoundly with the same passion with which God loves the whole world. And though that may seem routine, like we've heard it so often, like, well, nothing new here, the world needs to keep hearing it. And in fact, friends, we need to keep hearing it. God is love. God loves you. God loves them. We're aware of how often our spouse and our children need to hear those words. We need to keep hearing the assurance of God's love, and we need to keep saying it. Keep expressing it, even with words, if need be. We are called to be signs, to be the presence of God's love in the world. Might seem amazing to us, but I've been often reminded that many people would never expect to find love in the church. They may think of Christians as being self-righteous, stern, and judgmental, some of them even afraid to enter our building. I don't know how many people, over the years of my ministry, how many people have come to me seeking advice or help on behalf of a friend. Or maybe it was just a friend, you know, speaking of themselves. I don't know, but saying he or she could never bring themselves to talk to a pastor. I don't know how many, but it's been a lot. So let's be clear about this. Our message is centered in God's love. Let me say it again. God so loved the world, the cosmos. That passage doesn't say God so loved the church. It doesn't say God so loved Christian people, church members, but God so loved the world. Yeah, that one, this one that we live in. But I said that believing in Jesus means two things. The first is that assurance of God's love. The second part connects to those last verses that we often kind of neglect or overlook. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This Lent, in the midweek services, we're talking about God's great purpose to unite all things in Christ. The gospel tells us that God sent the Son into the world in order that the world might be saved through him. And the word for saved in that verse could also be translated healed, so that the world might be healed. Think about that. Christ came to heal the world, to change the world, to save it, to heal it, and that requires bringing an end to such things as hate and injustice and oppression, and doing what we can do to replace that with justice and mercy and compassion and love and equality. However, some choose hate over light, choose evil deeds over good deeds, and therefore that verse says they reject the light of the Son of God. Others agree with Jesus' ministry, and I hope that may be us. Jesus' mission to heal or change or restore the whole creation, to restore the world to its original intent, changing it from a place of injustice and evil to one that is loving and just and caring. In other words, for the writer of this gospel, the Gospel of John, believing in Jesus has more to do with what people believe regarding evil and hate and exploitation and all that crappy stuff. It's more that than it is just a matter of some religious feeling in my heart. We are saved by grace. Can't say that enough either. Grace alone. God loves you, and there is nothing you can do about that. That's just the way it is. So there. And God so loved the world, this whole messy place, that he gave his only Son. Lent then means coming to face to face with what is amiss in the world, amiss in us. Bad behavior, bad attitudes, lack of respect for other people and for the world around us. Love means, Lent means a hard look, self-examination at all the prejudices and the judgmental stuff that is part of our life. And Lent means, again, coming to face to face with the amazing, profound, undeserved love of God, who so loved you and the whole world that he gave his only Son. Today, both sides of that picture are presented in these readings, and for that we say thanks be to God. Amen. Lead me, guide me, and we're going to sing the refrain, at the first verse, and then the refrain, and that'll be it.
Inspire the witness of the church throughout the world. Empower missionaries, Bible translators, and ministries of service in your name. Bless our partners in ministry, our ELC Global Partner Churches, and young adults in global mission. Hear us, O God. From east to west, your steadfast love is shown. Nourish seas and deserts, wilderness areas and cities. Give water to thirsty lands. Nurture spring growth that feeds hungry creatures. Bless farmers as they prepare for the growing season. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You sustain your people in the wilderness. Give courage to all who lead in times of crisis and scarce resources. Prosper the work of those who aid victims of famine and drought. Bring peace in places where scarce resources cause violence. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your mercy endures forever. Deliver all who cry to you, especially those who are hungry or without homes. Give life in places where death seems triumphant. Give healing to those who are sick and comfort to those who mourn. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
By grace we have been saved. Fill this congregation to overflowing with that grace that we show mercy to others. Nourish any in our midst who are hungry, especially children, and bless our ministries of feeding and shelter here in Buffalo. Give us patience and courage when the way seems long. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue working through our fall committee and through all who work for the future of our ministry in Buffalo. We pray that the Spirit will move and work through Mark and Sarah and Will as they seek candidates for our ministry. We pray the Spirit will move in the hearts of potential candidates as well. Hear us, O God. Your Son was lifted up, that whoever believes might have eternal life. We praise you for all who have died in Christ. Bring us with all the saints into the fullness of your promises. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We entrust ourselves and all our prayers to you, O faithful God, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We invite you to share a sign of peace to those near you, whether that be a nod, a peace sign, whatever it be, as we share that great good news. Please be seated when you're finished with that. This is the time of the service when traditionally the offering is received, which we have not been doing in our worship services during the pandemic, but the offerings continue to be received through your generosity, through the mail, through whatever means, and we keep hearing reports that that the support of the congregation remains very encouraging. And so we thank you, we thank all who are part of this ministry, and we remember it. We give thanks to God for you, and we thank you for your gifts. In just a moment, we'll dress the table, and then we'll sing the offertory song.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the baptism of peace, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus, and let the church say Amen.
Amen.
Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom, pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of freedom, and let the church say Amen.
Amen.
Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
The body of Christ given for you. The Christ shed. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
serve the Lord.
Thank you, God.